I'm Julie Amacher, and this is the extended podcast version of New Classical Tracks with Wu Han, as she talks more about the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center at Shaker Village. I hope you enjoy it. Well, I'm really excited about this recording, the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, with the Simple Gifts recording, which was also a DVD and a PBS special.
Correct.
And I started listening to it, and I was like, wow, that is an awesome arrangement of Appalachian Spring. And then, of course, the rest of the recording is just as delightful, and so I wanted to talk with you about it, to feature it on a little podcast that I do called New Classical Tracks. And so what I would love for you to do is just start off by telling me a little bit about the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center for people who may not be familiar with it.
Sure. Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center is the largest chamber music producer and organization in North America. I know that's a big statement, but that's totally honest truth. We are the constituents that are sitting on Lincoln Center campus, taking care of chamber music, meaning we are equal to, let's say, the Met take care of the art form of opera, New York Phil take care of the art form of symphonic work. We are the one curators of chamber music. We do not only producing concerts, also grooming young musicians, creating radio shows, doing educate audience, engage audience. Besides producing a concert in New York, we also have 9 satellite series all over North America, mainly in the United States, a chamber music school in the Far East in South Korea. And we also do 52 radio shows, which is my favorite thing to do. We also produce recordings, doing family concerts and traveling, touring programs, and everything you can think about to take care of chamber music.
Tell me about the musicians who take part in the Chamber Music Society. Is there like a Rolodex of musicians, or is there a core group?
Yes, there is a core group, but there is a huge Rolodex. We have about 150 musicians walk through our stage in many different stages. Some of them are new music, some of them are just chamber music or touring group. So there is a core group, I would say about 60 people that are just devoted, the most sort of superstars in the chamber music world. And then we have guest artists every year that we invite in. When they perform well, they stay in the group. It's a group of sort of multi-generations of musicians from age 19, 20s-ish till 80, 85-ish. pretty much everybody devote are all fantastic players, but most important is they are expert in this particular art form.
So you took the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center on the road, and you took up residency in one of the country's most beautiful historic sites, Shaker Village of Pleasant Hill in Kentucky. You performed for an audience in a converted tobacco barn, and I know that this originally was the idea of your husband, David Finkel. What did you think when he first proposed that idea?
I thought David went out of his mind. But when we started to look at the Shaker Village, which is 3,500 acres of pristine land, and what Shaker Village represent in the American history, in the spiritual world, we found, wow, this is really something quite special. It's a magical place. It's a place that people search for renewal of spirit. It's a huge statement for American history and what we represent. The Shaker spirit is just so important. And we went to see the barn, and it's one of the most beautiful location. And thank God for the Shaker Village administration. They say, let's reinforce the barn. Let's bring some electricity in. Let's build a stage and throw some lights on, and you guys can make music here. And this project has been there for 10 years and now is jam-packed every concert during the Memorial Day's weekends in end of May, usually. And it's one of those magical places. You go there, you surround yourself with the most beautiful Shaker furnitures and Shaker histories, and then you listen to these incredible music. It just feels like you have died and gone to heaven. And there's very little internet receptions. And so it's quite spiritual and quite special.
And I hear the fireflies are amazing, too.
Yes. When Life on Lincoln Center came to us and said, can we do something special? And what are you guys up to in Chamber Music Society? We described many projects to them, including our, you know, Korean chamber music school, including our tour in Europe. But when we described the Shaker Village, it was like a aha moment for everyone. They said, let's go see if we can film this particular project. And what music would you like to play? Of course, immediately we say, simple gift, the Shaker tune. It's the gift to be simple. It's a gift to be free. And everybody said, what a great idea. And the simple gift was arranged for Martha Grant from Aaron Copland. And so there's a 13-instrument arrangement, which is perfect for chamber music. So we built a whole program around the simple gift idea for this particular CD and for the TV documentary. So the program, what we have designed, it's very Americana. It's everything that Americans represent and everything that is attractive for the foreigner about American. So we started off with the Gottschalk Union, which is a piano solo piece that is quoted from everything possible American, from Yankee Doodle to the American anthem. Just one of those pieces set the mood. And then we had Dvorak Sonatine, Dvorak is a big fan of America and American melody, so we want to have that reflection coming from a visitor of America. And then we have the Foster, which coming from Kentucky area, arrangement for a small ensemble. And then, of course, the Appalachian Spring, and then Mark O'Connor's incredible jig that it's absolutely represent the barn dance. So the whole program was designed among the American spirit, and then we had a simple gift. By the end of the concert, when we were filming it, there were tears in everybody's eyes.
Well, this was actually, if I'm understanding this correctly, it was very historic, because was it the first time that Copland's ballet score Appalachian Spring was performed in a Shaker Village like that?
Absolutely, and in the tobacco barn. You know, the dance for Martha, it's already, if you look at the dance, it's really the harvest, the American barn dances and everything. This has never been done in the real Shaker Village. Shaker Village are really rare things now. I know one in Lebanon and Massachusetts. This particular one in Kentucky, called the Pleasantville, Kentucky, it's one of the largest Shaker Village, and it's the most well-preserved Shaker Village. It's also the only village that not only you can visit and learn about the Shaker history, you can also stay in the real Shaker rooms. They have converted, because there's so many buildings that are preserved, they have converted a few buildings that you actually can stay and live in the village. So it's quite unusual. And then you think about this tune was sang in the old days by all the Shakers, and you think about the meanings of these words, and you start to really have goosebumps in your your body. It was just fantastic. It was a really moving experience, and I'm so grateful Life on Lincoln Center have captured the whole thing and really share the real true spirit with everyone, not only with the beautiful scenery, it's also with great music making.
It's interesting because chamber music is a very intimate art form, and that's an idea that really resonates with the Shaker concept, right? That each part is important to the whole?
Correct. The equality in chamber music world, it's something very few people understand.
You know, even as artistic director for me and David, when we go into the chamber music world or go into a chamber music group, we are equal because just it cannot be prima donnas on stage. We are supposed to be a group that contribute, that inspire each other, and that support each other in order to achieve the highest music making. So that particular idea in the Shaker world is perfect. Another thing about the Shaker world is they were very open-minded. They accept people that are homeless. They accept a lot of orphans, especially during the Civil War. You know, when I'm thinking about our composition of our musician group, I came from Taiwan. On stage, there are the two musicians came from Korea. There's one French violinist. There are a Swiss descendant that is American-born. We all came from so many different backgrounds, and we were gathering there for a good cause, for something is so spiritual, to try to achieve artistic excellence on this incredible space. So the Shaker idea and the chamber music idea is quite in line with each other. I know when I came to United States from Taiwan as a 21-year-old youngster, I was already so inspired by America as a country. And to go to the Shaker Village and get a little deeper into American history was really one of the most inspiring trip and most inspiring documentary I have ever produced and be involved in.
Now, was this the very first time that the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center went on the road?
Oh, no. We have many, many projects. The Shaker project is one of the many. We also started a chamber music school in Korea. So now we go to the Far East twice a year just to bring chamber music to the world. We also tour Europe. I just came back from Russia about 2 weeks ago. We have collaborations with many major concert halls, from the Wigmore Hall in London to Mecklenburg Festival in northern Germany. We really love collaborations, and we really, because the idea of chamber music is really a group effort, so we bring in a lot of partnership with Chamber Music Society, that including commission, including spreading words or helping the next generations of young musicians to develop. So there are many, many projects. In the United States, we have projects not only in the Shaker Village, also in Boston Gardner Museum, Athens, University of Georgia, Drew University, Purchase University, Grand Rapids Music Centers, Chicago Harris Theaters. So many organizations work together to bring the best cultural events to their area. And for me, that's very, very important, especially in the United States right now. We all need a few hours of oasis to escape or to gather, or to form a community that gather something is the highest human achievement. And in my opinion, it's chamber music and it's great music making. And we have built so many community surrounded with like-minded people that care deeply about what our society represents. And through music and through these collaborations, I have watched community form and have watched people got inspired. This particular Shaker project is a perfect example. Last year, we celebrated the 10th anniversary. We started out with two small concerts. Now it's five packed houses in the tobacco barn, in the Shaker meeting houses. And it's just a really inspiring project. And I think as arts leader, as musician, it's our responsibility to continue this kind of work and also to continue bring the best music program, both in radio and in television.
Can you tell me again what the title of the festival is that this was part of?
The title of the festival is called the Bluegrass Festival in Shaker Village.
Okay.
And this particular video is on the internet. If you go to PBS, Live on Lincoln Center,
and search for simple gift.
I did find the video, but it doesn't say anything about the festival of which it was a part. So that's why I was trying to figure out, because and I can see now why, since it wasn't really bluegrass, just, you know, but it had elements of bluegrass in the repertoire.
Yes.
So I would love to talk a little bit more about each of the works that appear on this recording. And the Appalachian Spring, oh, it's just so delightful in that chamber arrangement for 13 members, I think you said. Was that the original intent, was that it would be in a chamber setting in terms of the performance?
Yes, this is the original arrangement. This is the beginning, yeah. And if you hear it from the larger orchestration, it's really just orchestra takes it. But originally, it was designed for 13 instruments, and we play with no conductors.
I mean, I was just blown away by that performance, especially because it was just so full and rich, even though it's a chamber setting.
The richness actually coming from great players. If you watch the film, you will notice the intense communication between the musicians. You know, it's not easy to have 13 people all play the downbeat together. So the leadership are very, very important. The supporting roles are very, very important. And you will watch the leadership actually shift all over 13 people. Depends on who is taking charge of the melody and depends on who is giving the downbeats to support the whole group. So it's a very complicated operation. These musicians are just really first-class musicians. I was so moved by the performance.
The Dvorak Sonata in G Major for Violin and Piano features you. And it was written originally, the composer himself had intended it as a gift for two of his children. But obviously, you know, these are very challenging performances. They are not designed for kids, but very talented, perhaps young performers or performers of any age, of course. Tell me about this delightful sonata.
Yes, the sonata was originally written for, intended for his children, but the technical demand is actually quite high. The sonata, especially in the slow movement, at one point was the most played encore pieces. And it's a tune that apparently Dvorak heard either from the African-American community or from the Indian melody. It's called a lament, and it's so beautiful. It really just want to make you cry. And Dvorak has that particular gift to write melodies, and he was visiting all over the United States, especially taking a train to Spillville to get to know everybody. The legend is he wrote down the melody on his shirt sleeves while he was visiting Minnesota in one of the some Indian fall waterfall.
Yeah, the Minnehaha Falls.
Minnehaha Falls, exactly. And he got so excited, and I would love to have that shirt sleeves as a manuscript to see what he wrote down. But that's how the piece was sort of appeared. It's so lovely. And the last movement is absolutely an American dance. There is a wonderful a dance movement also on the third, very delightful piece. And the beginning, first movement is, it's quintessential American. It has that optimistic spirit and also have very beautiful sort of American influence, simple folk melody in there. So it's a few pieces that he wrote while he visited America, while he was a resident here, and helping America to found a music school. It's one of the most played Dvorak piece, especially among my violinists.
The souvenirs for Piano Four Hands by Barber were a very good choice in that he had intended them for, like, social gatherings and parties. Tell me about these little pieces and your partner in crime at the piano.
This little piece actually originally have 6 movements. On the video, you only find 2, but in the CD, you will find all 6 of them. Yes, it was intense for social gathering. Samuel Barber was visiting a lot of bars and clubs, and also in the Palace Hotel, in the famous tea room. And his friends suggested he should write some pieces that they could play for some of the parties or these clubs that they are visiting. 6 movements, or each one of them are delightful. There's a tango in there, there's a cancan in there, there's the pas de deux, there's the waltz, and it's all supposed to be dance movements. I love them. I think they're just charming and American and welcoming. My partner in crime on this piece is Gio Van Sato. Gio is a famous pianist in his generation. He was double major, educated in Columbia University, also in Juilliard School. I believe he was either a math or political science or physics major. He has many, many degrees on top of being a great pianist. Now he decided to concentrate on piano playing, and he has won number competitions. His parents are scientists from Switzerland, and so he also have a very big career in Switzerland and in Europe as well. He will be making his Wigmore debut very soon, and he is one of a regular in Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. He's one of my favorite pianists. And you know, when you play piano four hands, that you have to share keyboards with the other pianists, you better like each other. So Joe is my favorite pianist, and we worked really, really hard for this piece. The piece looks or sounds delightful, but actually it's quite tricky because the traffic issue, it's very complicated choreography on the keyboard with 4 hands had to share 88 keys. Had a great time working on that, and I think the recording came out really well.
Well, both you and Gilles appear on the Stephen Foster selections as well with the ensemble, and yes. Those were arranged by the flutist in the group. Tell me a little bit more about these pieces.
Tara Helen O'Connor, who is our regular flutist that has played many, many concerts for Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, is one of the most talented musician I know. When she heard about we are going to Shaker Village to do this project, Tara said, "You need to have a Stephen Foster piece." I said, "Tara, you know, I know a lot of folk songs, but these are sort of hard to arrange." She said, "I will arrange it, no problem." And so she found all these incredible pieces. She actually arranged probably 8 or 10 of them, and we picked 4 to present. They are American folk music, and it's beautiful, and it works for the whole group. We want to make sure everybody's on stage in the end of the concert. So that's how these arrangements came about. It's really taking the American folk music and put it as a chamber group, and Tara did it. Bang up job on the arrangement, I thought.
Yeah, it's delightful. There's only 3,
isn't it?
There's only 3 on the CD. Did you do 4 like in the concert setting, or?
Yes, we did 4 in the concert setting. I think there is a da 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 di, da 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 da, but I think we couldn't fit into the CD itself. The CD can only hold, I saw, 70 some minutes, and in the end, we have to give up one piece, so we decided to take that one out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Mark O'Connor, the third movement from his, well, it's his fiddle concerto, but he calls it FC's Correct. Jig. And two very talented musicians perform that piece.
Yes, Arnold Sussman, my French violinist, who came to the United States when he was still in his teens to study with Isa Perlman in Juilliard School. And as soon as he graduated, he entered the roster because he's just so good and so special. And his partner in crime in this particular piece is Paul Neubauer, really one of the best violists in our generation, no question, in United States. He's like legend among violists. And this particular jig is written coming from Mark O'Connor's concerto. It's a jig, and it requires fiddling, not sort of, besides great chops, you have to have a loose approach to the violin, and both musician knows how to fiddle, how to play fiddling. So it's really one of those pieces, people love it. It's a dance in the barn. I know every time they play, the audience just go crazy. And it's a wonderful way to enjoy the music.
That was my final question, was how did the audience respond in this to this particular program? I mean, I watched a bit of the video, but I bet you got some feedback from people afterward.
Oh, yes. After the filming, after the whole ordeal of the American program and the whole weekend of the music making, when that simple gift tune came on the stage, the clarinet soared, I can see people just tear up. First of all, is because this whole project, it requires so many people's hard work to set the barn, to conquer the logistical possible weather storm situation, possible lighting problem, this and that, and everything went so smoothly. But with that piece of music, that melody, come on the Shaker Barn in the Shaker Village, you feel like the Shaker ghost was with you. The whole spiritual side of the village was distilled in that moment, in those couple minutes. And so many people hugged me after the concert, tell me how touched they were, what that means to them, to have the experience to really hearing this tune in the Shaker Barn. And for me, that particular moment was so important. There's so few moments in our life that we share special memory. You feel you accomplished something that together with your community, that it touches your heart, that changes your mind about what we can all together to accomplish, that really means something, that you bring beauties to the world, you really remind you what's important in life and what's important for our society. So in that way, those moments, those comments came from the audience to me is something I will never forget in my life.
And that's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julia Macher.